the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show with Blake Matheson and Eric Updike, covering hunting, fishing, and all things outdoors in eastern Montana and western North Dakota.
Yeah, great outdoors.
We'll bring on guests occasionally.
We're ready to learn to get some knowledge.
You can find episodes every other Friday on RadioBaker.com underneath podcasts. The Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
Check it out!
Welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Blake Matheson. Along with me, our co-host,
Eric Updike.
What episode number are we on, Bucko?
40.
No, you're close. Knocking at the door, 40. This is the old 39 tonight.
Dang it.
Yep, and it finds us. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just speak for myself. I don't know, singing the blues a bit. I'm not feeling like a very good hunter these days.
No, it hasn't been very good for bird hunting this year, on our end anyway.
And I'm starting to lean, you know, I'm hesitant to go full into this yet, but I'm starting to lean into just saying it's not a great year for birds in our area. When is it okay to say that and just go full into it?
You know, as of right now, I would have to agree with you. Hopefully the colder temperatures make them group together, maybe, but I don't know. It's our only hope. This sure ain't good, and everybody you talk to is going through the same thing around here.
Yeah, the word on the street is not good in the bird hunter circles. And, you know, I think I've been, today I did a lot of thinking back to last year, and last year, like, I could drive from Baker to Sandstone to the lake out there, and you'd run into big old groups of grouse standing in the middle of the road, like, often, and I didn't see that at all this year. So I think I'm getting more and more confident in just saying that it's just that the numbers of birds are not what they were last season.
I'd have to agree with that, and you know, be positive about it. At least you just live in Baker. You're not like these other guys who drove all the way out here from Oregon, Utah.
Yeah, you talked to some Oregon fellas, and yeah, definitely seen some Utah out there. I'm not 100% sure if they're bird hunters, but I saw California plates that were suspect bird hunters. That was a long ways to come, and I personally spoke to some Colorado folk opening weekend. So we've been out talking to the folk.
Yeah,
we do our reporting diligence here on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show.
We do. Yeah, well, Sandstone's like a little village out there.
that's a good way to put it. And a lot of wall tents. People getting fancy these days.
You don't see a lot of that in this country, but yeah, there's some wall tents with the old chimney sticking out. It's had the old wood stove going.
You need that with the weather we've been having. I think I'd be wanting a wood stove in my old hunting tent.
I think so. It'd be cold.
Luckily, the old white flakes haven't flown, but definitely a little cold for, like you said, the old regular tent, I think, is put away for the year.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. But you know, another thing with the temperature, it has been warm rather late into the season. I don't know if that's affecting anything or not.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. And I think it's also going to make a later ice season. I was just talking to my dad last night, and we were trying to make plans for... He was saying he wants to come out in December. And I think in his mind, that was ice fishing time. And I said, no, I bet the lake's not frozen by Christmas. It'll be like the week of Christmas would be my earliest guess for Baker Lake freezing over to be fishable.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. And, you know, last year we had early ice. So, I mean, there's a lot of temperature change between last year and this year.
Have you ever seen a year where it was fishable, like, around Thanksgiving or, like, shortly after Thanksgiving? Is that way too early?
That's way too early.
Yeah, that's about, like, the high elevation stuff out in Colorado. Like, that was a really good ice fishing year, was when stuff froze to where a guy that was willing to maybe take the chance to get wet, you could get out on a couple inches of ice up in the higher elevation lakes, usually around Thanksgiving week. But I think around here, you're pretty much looking at Christmas standard.
That's pretty good standard.
And if you don't want to be let down that week, you should probably just anticipate into January where you're getting out.
Yeah, that's a safer bet.
So, but you know, that has been, I'm kind of jumping ahead of where I meant to jump already here, but I have been seeing a lot of mention of ice fishing already. Like, you know, it starts to pop up on the fishing Facebook groups that you see here and there. You start to see little mentions of ice fishing. And then some of my buddies back at the old tackle shop still, they've been putting out the ice rods. They've had them out for a good while now. But it's that time. It's on folks' brains.
It's right around the corner.
One of my favorite times. I love the beginning of ice fishing season when it, like, the newness hasn't worn off yet. You're still excited about it. Go out, catch those first few fish through the hole. I think I'm starting to get into that territory where I'm looking to ice fishing, which is crazy to say. That's where I'm at in my big game season, if you can tell where this is going.
Come on now. Let's get Bambi shot first.
No, you know, this was even faster than last year. Last year, it was like 2.5 weeks in that I started having the thoughts where I was like, maybe I'm not a big game hunter. Maybe I shouldn't be the host of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show, because I'm just, you know, maybe big game hunting just is not my thing. I'll go after the birds. Like, a year like this year is rough when it's we can blame the numbers, but I still feel like I know where to find birds if they're there. Like, I understand bird hunting, but big game hunting, the more I do it, the more I just feel like I have no idea what I'm doing.
It'll come to you.
So this year it came really fast. We're only not even a full week into the pronghorn antelope season here, and I'm already having those thoughts where I'm like, maybe I'm just not the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, when did antelope season open, Blake?
Yeah, hey, you know, I'll take that, yes. I will admit to giving out the wrong date for opening season, but I don't understand if I just saved the dates into my phone off last season's regulations or what, because everything, I went back after I realized that I, like a dunce, have been telling everybody that pheasant and pronghorn opened separate days rather than the same day, like you've always said, so credit to you there, of course, but every day that I had it saved in my calendar, deer start, pronghorn start, everything was off by a day. Even the ends of them was just a day shifted, and I don't understand how I pulled that off, but yeah, I sure did pull it off, and I've got the dunce cap on, my friends.
Yeah, I've always thought you ran a day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, always the dollar short, for sure. The day late, just unfortunately, in a really important place here. But I also tried to get by saying that I was just saying that so that we had less people out the opening day, and that would make me seem more clever.
God, I don't know if that worked, because there was hunters all over.
All over. Yeah, opening week was crazy. Opening weekend, that opening Saturday, got out in orange everywhere. It was kind of crazy. I guess I just, holding a pronghorn tag, I was expecting to see more people that were clearly pronghorn hunters, but I saw way less people that were obvious pronghorn hunters than bird hunters. There was a lot of pheasant folks out the opening Saturday.
There's a pile of them.
And shout out to Officer Oliver Gulig for doing his due diligence, giving me the old license check.
Yeah, good for him.
We were coming on opposite ways on the road there, out on the dirt road, and as I could see him slowing down, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this is a gamey truck. I don't know which gamey it is in there, but it's one of them. And so I started to slow down, and my window was already down anyways. And so we just stopped there in the road going opposite directions. And he asked me how the morning was going and double checked that I was, he said, I assume you're hunting antelope. And I said, yes, that's what I'm chasing the tag for today, not the pheasants. And then, yeah, he hopped out of his truck and said, well, guess I better check your license. And I respect it. I'm not saying I didn't expect him to. I appreciate that he checked my license, but did it also a little bit catch me off guard? Yes, a little bit. I mean, this podcast host is not doing shady stuff out in the wilderness, I can assure you.
Yeah.
So
others doing their job checking everybody.
I know. And again, I'm not trying to sound privileged, but I was just a little bit like, dang. So that's where our friends, well, I don't even want to use the word friendship. That's where our relationship lies. It's purely professional.
Yep.
So, but he's out. Yeah, said he'd checked like 15 people that day. So it was a lot of folks out. And the only wildlife that I encountered was the snakes on the road, a lot of smushed ones. And then I had myself a little run-in with a huge bull snake. Yeah. Massive. He was stretched way across the road. It was all I could do to straddle him in the old Chevy. I just was like, I don't really want to. I could tell it wasn't a rattlesnake. And I was like, I don't want to run this guy over. So I got past him a little ways and straddled across him. They're all stretched out, sunning on the road. And when I started walking up to him, he was already on the fight. Like, you saw the video of it, yeah. I'm sure, but where he struck at me. But people, when I show people that video, they're like, why was he that mad? Like, why did he strike at you so fast? I don't know. That's the meanest bull snake I think I've ever encountered. Like, he was on the fight already as I was approaching. He was lifted off the ground. He had his head all flattened to make himself look like a rattlesnake. And then I just wanted to move him off the road. So I just touched him with the boot, and he struck at me. And normally that would get you shot if you're a snake. But this one, I was very patient. I carry a stick around in my truck that somehow has ridden in the bed of my truck for many, many moons. And I went and grabbed the old trusty stick out of the bed of the truck and just shoved him off there. I went back to my old pig showing days back in 4-H and FFA. You know, you take the old pig baton and direct him around. That's what I did to that snake. Just a little poke off the road, and he probably went right back on it. But I felt like I did a good deed.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Thanks. You ever save a snake?
Nope.
Yeah, I thought, didn't think so.
Not a chance.
Not even like if it's a little small, like garter snake. Like,
nope.
Dang.
Nope.
Shoo-wee. Them are all the devil's critters.
They are. It's my favorite time of the year because they go back to hell for winter.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I've been thinking maybe this is something I'll get bored enough to dive into the Google on or get a hold of somebody about, but I'm actually super curious as to how do all of these snakes, like there's a bunch out where it starts to get like the last throes of warmth and they're trying to sun for the last few times. The amount of snakes on the road around here, how do they not freeze solid during some of our winters? Like my sprinkler lines can't survive if I don't blow them out. Like 4 feet underground.
Did you get three, that 4 feet?
No, I haven't done that yet. My grass is still green. I haven't completely given up on, well, this weekend I'll probably do it because I think I've given up on, it's cold enough now to give up on the watering. I hadn't given up on it yet. I was enjoying the green grass. So no, I haven't blown them out yet. But anyhow, the lines that deep, not blown out, freeze solid enough to break your pipes. How does a snake not freeze solid out here in the eastern plains of Montana?
I don't know.
That's just a wonder of science, my friend.
I wish they would.
Yeah, for sure. You could get your dogs out a lot earlier in the grouse and dove season, for sure, with a little less worry.
Yep, like I tell you, it's my favorite time of the year when they all go back to hell for winter.
So what's our plan here? So we both have unfilled tags. You've also got a son with an unfilled pronghorn tag. Your next day's off, what's your plan?
I don't know. I haven't really come up with a good plan yet. Got to find somewhere good. I've been kind of doing some e-scouting at some new places to go. But I guess we're just going to have to go out and see if we can find them, I guess.
Yeah, I've sunk in so low that I'm just looking at big swaths of BLM and state land. And if there's like a fun dam name on it, just screenshot that sucker and be like, all right, well, that's a funny dam name out there. Yeah. So I'm going to head on out to that one and see if there's any speed goats kicking around.
Well, I would think the three of us could probably go out and see if we can get something. I'll probably carry your gun though, so you don't shoot Bambi right out of the gate.
Well, see, with an either sex tag, the good thing about that, I don't even have to do Bambi. I could just go straight across to his mother.
There you go.
Be even less picky.
But I guess if the three of us go, my kid will have to get first shot, and then I suppose you'll have to have second shot. I'll be all the way down at third.
Oh, boy, that's a rough draft order.
I know.
But then maybe that's when you see the biggest one. I don't know.
It could be.
You know, that does remind me. You've unlocked story time. You got time for a story here on the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show?
Nothing but time.
So I think this is worthy to talk about because I had never heard this really talked about ever. And like, let me just get into it. So I had a deer tag, either sex deer tag, for Kansas 1 year. And one of my buddies that I was working with at the time also had the same tag. So we went out together. Nebraska. So we went out to Nebraska with our either sex tags. And we never talked about, like, shooting order. We never mentioned it. And in my mind, I don't know, hunting with, like, my family, it was always just whoever, like, if we were with my dad, whoever saw the deer, like there's only one time I think that I actually went with my dad and a brother that all three of us had tags and we split up. And so it was never really a thing that had to be talked about. Like it's always just been understood with the people I've hunted with what the order is. So I went out with this fellow who I've never hunted with, especially not big game before, only birds. And we never talked about that. And so it came out, we went on this little field and they were white-tailed does started coming down this little hill in front of us. And we were sat down real sneaky ahead of where they were coming and they were well within shooting range, but we kind of both froze because we were both like, well, shoot, we never talked about this. Like, we never mentioned who shoots first or what's going to happen. But they were coming down in the line. So in the moment, we were like, we're just going to do the synchronized thing where we're going to count down 3, 2, 1, and we'll each have a separate one in our sights and we'll shoot at the same time. Needless to say, that did not work out. It ended up that neither of us got a shot. I was all set up. He was fiddling with shooting sticks the whole time. And once he fiddled with the shooting sticks too long, trying to get his gun up on it, they heard it and they bounced. And so, long story short, if you go out with somebody that you haven't ever big game hunted with, that is a very wise thing to discuss before you go. Yep. And it sounds so simple and it's just so easy to not even think about.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so, yeah, I can respect that. Yeah, for sure. So maybe head out to the big, I'm kind of eyeing like bigger swaths of BLM because that's the newest thing for pronghorn for me. Like being totally in deer gear, for me, I take comfort in the fact that I can just go pick out a spot of public land that has like some gnarly hills or growth that I don't think a lot of people want to bushwhack through. And it kind of gives me solace in that fact that I can just go out and kind of put miles under my boots where I feel like most people don't do that. But with antelope, I just feel like it's a totally different game. It's all about spotting from the truck and like out on the wide open plains and then taking 300-400 yard shots. So I just don't, I got to retool here.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, a lot of driving around, spotting stock.
Yeah, out of the flatlands.
It's definitely a different kind of hunting than deer.
Yep. So can't luck out and just spook something out of the whole thicket. No. So, yeah. So I guess that'll be the next plan this week. When are you off again? This weekend you off?
This coming weekend.
Okay. Well, yeah. Maybe we'll get up, do the old early trek down south. I don't know if I'll camp anywhere.
It might be a little cold.
Might be a little chilly, chillarooski for the old Blake to go camping in. But, yeah, I think the bigger BLM spots down to the south of us is the most descriptive I'll get for now.
Yeah. Give her a whirl.
Yeah, give her a whirl. We got a large swath of land to go check out in a couple weeks yet. And deer starts on the 25th, if I adjusted my calendar correctly. Deer opens the 25th. Unless you're a youth hunter, technically your boy could get out a little earlier. That opens this coming weekend, I think, on like maybe even tomorrow. It's either the 16th or the 17th, I think I read that the youth deer season opens. So, yeah, a hunter that has hunter safety and is not over the age of, I think it was 15, another 15 or 16, you can get them on out there a little early. But the rest of us, October 25th, the day we're waiting for.
Yep, that'll be the big day.
Yeah, so will I still have a little bit of fire burning in me for big game by then? My buddy Clint texted me the other day and asked if I was going to make a Fort Peck trip. I keep threatening to make one last fishing trip up at the big lake, and I kind of wish I would. You know, this weekend, if it was going to be good enough weather, I'd have a really hard time deciding if I was chasing the pronghorn tag or going to make one last trip for lake trout up at the old lake. I just can't shake the fishing bug.
Yeah, I did. Fishing stuff.
I know, you're totally, that's gone.
Yeah.
Gone and behind. So, I hope that the old fire stays lit into deer season. But if pronghorn goes unsuccessful without filling the tag on even an old female pronghorn, I just don't know how I'll feel.
Well, we'll find out.
And I'm a sore loser, and this bird season also has me down bad. Not only, the low numbers of birds, dog challenges. I'm struggling, my friend.
Yeah, struggling. Sounds like you need a hug.
I might need a couple hugs after this big game season comes to a close, and if bird season keeps going the way it is.
Well, there is a positive, though. The store does sell meat, so you're not going to have to rely on your hunting skills to eat.
Oh, yeah, amen. Not having a need to fill the freezer. But that does get me on another tangent. That kind of, in a way, roundabout way, does bring my depression about more, though, because I was just thinking today about the math as to how big game meat is the most expensive meat you can get, because by the time you've burned all the gas and gotten all the gear, it's an expensive cut of meat off of that critter you get one.
Then some of these guys got their wives convinced, that they're saving money by hunting. It cracks me up every year. It's like, you're saving money, all right.
Yeah, the longer you go into this season, how many times did you fill up at the old Farmers Union?
Oh, exactly.
I wanted to shout them out. Shout out to Farmers Union, old Senex, because there's not many places a fella or all these fellows coming into town can go and keep themselves fed when you're out camping and tired of cooking, or you're stopping in the midst of the day, or you need a refill with the old Gatorade or something. Man, they do a lot of work down there when these hunting seasons begin. It's crazy how the traffic changes at our local old Senny.
Yeah, that is very true.
So shout out to them folks for keeping everybody running down there. I think they deserve a little respect in that regard.
They do. It's a one time a year you got to wait in line to get gas.
Exactly. Wait in line to get gas. You're going in the morning at a certain time. You're definitely going to hit a line for breakfast. And then all the breakfast warmers, if you're late, going to be empty. So
yeah, for sure.
So, well, shout out to them. And all right, so there's your plan from us folks at the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. Looking for the pronghorn. Still a little bit of hope left.
I'd hope so. We haven't even been out yet. <That's>,
like I said, I just don't have the confidence in myself that it's quickly waning, and I'm very, very quickly ready to go hope that the pheasants are awaiting me in the fields.
Blake, I believe in you.
And then ice fishing season will be here, and I'll really feel like I know what I'm talking about then. Holy smokes, will I be hitting my stride.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for me. I've been rambling on this whole time. Do you have anything fun to tell the folks this episode?
Nope, I sure don't.
You haven't seen anything fun out running around in the fields outdoors lately?
I haven't seen anything too exciting. I've seen quite a few nice bucks. I think there's pretty good potential for maybe getting some nice mule deer bucks. Saw some nice white tails. Of course, I told you about seeing that nice bull elk down. Of course, that was in South Dakota, but. Yeah. Still fun to see.
Yep, still need to see some critters out and about. My critter seeing has been real low. Like I said, just snakes lately and the odd grouse where I can't shoot them for the most part.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that'll conclude episode 39. Next time we're yapping at you, it'll be the big 40th episode of the Big Skies and Badlands.
Oh, boy, maybe I'll get a pizza party to celebrate.
Oh, boy, do I wish that there was a different pizza option available. I'd go get some pizza right now. If there was like a solid pizza that I didn't have to go take out a loan for here in town, I'd probably go and grab it right after this episode. And I'd be like, here you go. But unfortunately, not an option tonight. Dang no it. Dominoes in this town, my friend.
Next time.
Yeah, maybe next time. All right. Well, this has been episode 39 of the Big Skies and Badlands Outdoor Show. I've been along with you, your host, Blake Matheson, and co-hosting with me,
Eric Updike.
And hopefully, maybe we'll have some stories of success for you in a couple weeks. And if you're getting out, stay safe and good luck out there.